Hello, everyone. My name is Matt. Sometimes I go by the Grass Factor. Today I'm Matt Martin. There are things that happen in this world that we can't account for. There's a lot of terrible things. And one of the most unforgiving things that I think we have to experience in life as human beings is death. And the reason why it's so unforgiving is because the feeling of hopelessness has to be one of the most empty, soul-defeating things that you can ever experience. And I hate to kick it off as heavy as it does, and I promise there'll be a little reprieve to it, but just to stoke the seriousness of this, that's why I'm talking about it in such a way. We have a friend of the show that, of course, everybody knows. His name is Lushy. And Lushy has always been, he's been a much better friend to me than he probably ever should have been. He's been one of the most fun people I've ever interacted with and had the pleasure of meeting in real life. And the whole reason that we all have had the privilege of meeting and experiencing the experience that is Lushy is for one of two reasons. And one of those two reasons is his dad. And as a human, and I'm going to make this selfish, I'm going to make this about me, but I am so incredibly thankful for the effort that gave us Lushy from his dad, because without him, this world definitely would not be as bright and as cheery and as laughy and all the other joys that he brings to the world. And if there's anything that I know about Lushy's dad, which is absolutely nothing, but the fact that he did give us Lushy and Lushy Jr. and the family that Lushy was able to build, there's certainly a lot of good in what was that man's heart. So, death is incredibly unforgiving, and we wanted to take this moment to kick off this show to just say how incredibly sorry we are for his loss. And I know our words are never going to be able to absolve the pain that you have to experience and your family has to experience. But just know, as some random jackass tool bags on the internet, you are in our thoughts and prayers, and wish you nothing but the best in this road to life of that you have to go on and live. But may his memory forever live strong in your heart. And I'll say that again, all the good you bring to all of us is a testament to the good your dad brought to the world. And so anyway, DeMay. DeMay, I'm going to go ahead and let you take over from here.
Okay. So, we heard about this past weekend, awful, horrific thing. And as Matt said, Lushy's a good friend to us in person. He's a good friend to us, on this show, and, great people come from great parents. Right. So, thought a lot about him, and, we're all about, the seriousness of life and everything like that, but also the levity. And so, we asked some other friends of the show if to help, kind of brighten Lushy's mood and get him up, in spirits, at least for a few minutes, to tell their best dad joke. So without further ado, I will give you all the members that have chosen to participate in this. And I know everybody's been busy and everything like that, but we got some good submissions. And I wanted to share that with Lushy and with everybody else, too. And we'll lead it off this evening with the Right Reverend Jesse Bousquet, attorney at law.
Hey, Lushy, it's Jesse. I'm sorry for your loss. Your dad was a good man.
Hey, Lushy, sorry to hear about your dad. I just wanted to mention a couple of quick little, dad jokes. used to have a joke about chemistry, but it wasn't getting a very good reaction. And then I tried another one, a joke that I had about tires. That one didn't get any traction either.
So my boss came to my office this morning. And when he left, he told me, have a good day. So I went home.
This one's for you, Lush. Whenever I think of the past, it brings back so many memories. It reminds me of the time that my dad instilled the fear of elevators in me. And ever since I've been taking steps to avoid it.
What did the popcorn say to the baby corn? You've got your mother's ears.
The other day I got hit in the head with a can of soda. Thank God it was a soft drink.
Hey, Mushy, so I'm sitting here with Mr. Blanky again. It's probably almost 10. I need to get to work. But anyway, so my joke is, what did the dad say to the daughter? Get to work.
Lushy, what's up, my man? Spent all day putting together this unfinished joke for you. And I was going to tell it to you today, but it's not finished. All jokes aside, man, sending you nothing but positive energy. Prayers for you and your family, brother.
Yesterday, I was washing the car with my son. And he looks at me and he says, Dad, can we just use a sponge?
What kind of tree fits in your hand?
I don't know.
A palm tree.
I couldn't think of a name.
What happens when doctors get frustrated? They lose their patience.
How do you know a redneck invented the toothbrush? Any other person would have called it a teeth brush. From one turf nerd to another. Love you, brother.
Where do you take someone who's been injured in a peekaboo game accident? To the ICU. If black birds have black babies, and blue birds have blue babies, and red birds have red babies, what kind of birds don't have babies? A swallow.
Do you see the new Tesla on there? It's called the Elon. It must be nice to be able to afford one of those.
Hey, Lushy, what has five toes and isn't your foot? My foot.
Hey, Aaron. What do you call lawn that's been sprayed with permagreen? It's a lush lawn.
What did the big flower say to the small flower? What's up, bud?
Hey, Lushy, why didn't Han Solo enjoy his steak? It was chewy. Want to hear a potassium joke, Lushy? Okay.
Lushy, so sorry to hear about the loss over the weekend with your dad. As a dad myself, I got many dad jokes, and the one that always embarrasses my kids the most when I say it in front of their friends is I like to ask, what do you call an elephant that no one cares about? And that would be an irrelephant. Hang in there, buddy. Keep your head up.
Okay, what is the difference between a refrigerator and a butthole? A refrigerator doesn't fart when you pull the meat out.
Ew.
What a way to end it, Telly Coleman.
Oh, yikes, man.
We love you, Aaron. I hope that at least managed to put a smile.
Last one's going to get kicked off the air. Oh, wait. Oh, we got one more. We got one more. We'll do it at the end.
Okay.
We'll go out on
okay.
That.
We'll do it we'll at the end.
A Bill O'Reilly doing it live. One at the end.
Different yep. Spencer. All right, this is going to be an open show. If you have questions, feel free to submit them in the chat. Please understand that we do this live. It'll take us a minute to get to them. We're also going to kick off with the questions that we closed too early to get to last week, so we're going to get those in as well. I do understand any recommendations we make. We might make a mistake. We're like I said, we're doing this off the cuff. Please fact check everything we do. Do not take everything we say as gospel. Go out, make a giant mistake, and then come back. Well, you told me. Yeah, what I'm telling you is double, triple, quadruple check. You can hear from us, but please, God, consult the body of evidence that also exists in the real world. You know, like labels and shit. There's a reason why they exist. We don't always have them in front of us, and we do the best we can to go off memory. However, we are fallible. So with that, we're going to get in. Please feel free to throw your questions in. Also, if you would like to mail a soul test or something of the sort, you can always mail us at mail@thegrassfactor.tv, mail@thegrassfactor.tv. You can send it in there. You can also send in love letters if you want. We'll put those on the air and probably read them out loud with a giant smile on our face. And if it's horrific, we'll probably call you horrific names. We're going to kick this off with Nick Hanksor. He said, I live on Long Island. What is it? The bacon, egg, and cheese, and ketchup bagel. Don't do it. Not even once. And I need to reseed an area near my curb since my curbs were replaced in late November, and I'm concerned about applying pre-emergent the new grass seed at the same time. Rightfully so. You do not want to apply pre-emergent and new grass seed at the same time. However, we do have some other options, like mesotrione. You can start with mesotrione until it comes up and is established, and then if you feel the need to go out with something like Dimension a little later, you can, to extend some duration. Also, how seed safe is ethyphumosate around that time, or can you even buy that in New York? I don't know if you can buy that in New York.
That's a good question. I don't know if that's let me look and see here real quick.
I can tell you that Triftentol fescue and ryegrass is extremely tolerant of ethyphumosate, to the point where I believe you can apply ethyphumosate within a week or two of seeding, or just prior to seeding. And and that would be especially useful if you have a poa issue. But
yeah, it's not for sale in New York.
Effective.
Yikes.
Well,
sorry.
The commies got you again.
If that's the case,
Attica.
Your only option is mesotrione, and the way you do your mesotrione is app in 30 days, and you can do that up to 4 times to get up to 4 months. Because
that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, because unfortunately, the communists of New York took away all your fun. Sorry.
And what fun it would be. What fun it would really be.
Yeah. Let's see here. Tyler Hollifield said, you'll help me out a ton last year when I called in with my first year Tiffway, and is now weeks ahead of the neighbors in Raleigh, North Carolina. Looking to see what you recommend regarding fertilizer brand. I am beholden to no brands at all. You need to go with whatever you need to go with. You're in Raleigh, North Carolina, so urea is probably your friend. I don't think you're
don't
dealing with
say
anything
it if you're not going to recommend where you're going to buy it.
Oh yeah, okay. So over where you are, Potash Corp, Gavilon, Site One,
Russia.
What is it? Green Russia is a big importer. It might come in a bag that says Eurochem Group. You can get it in a Yara Amidas bag as well too. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. It's just a heads up to make it crystal clear and how widely available it is. You could even type it into the Google urea and find many sources for it. It is one of the highest sold fertilizer commodities globally. Okay. So I promise there is no brand that you need to seek out. What you need to seek out are the active ingredients and apply them at the rates you need them. So if you want to get cool with it, like you want a slow release or something like that, you got to understand the majority of the sulfur coats are all going to be handled by just a few people, right? So you have Allied Nutrients, which is the joint venture between Koch Agronomics and Turf Care Supply. They have leases at the same facilities. That's Martins Ferry, Ohio, Sylacauga, Alabama. Also, they have leases at Sylacauga, would be Purcell. It'd also be Harrell's. So a lot of the same technology coming out of the same places. It's just licensing agreements and all that fun stuff. Yeah, because the polymer coat is effectively the same. It's just the number of layers on it and the amount of additional screening that goes into it, right? So for instance, if it's like a duration 90, you know, that's probably going to be closer to the Harrell's Polyon 4300. If it's a duration 120, it's probably closer to the Polyon 4200. I hope that makes sense, right? So effectively, it's the same thing. It's just you're getting it from, you know, the different brands, even though it's, I'm being honest with you, it's the exact same. It just has a different color it put on it. But you didn't hear that from me. So anyway. Steve-O sent us a soil test. I'm making sure his information isn't on here. Oh, okay. We're good. Look at Jay Pink. He's already on it. He has our old Lesko Sight One Soil Test, man. You gotta love these. How many of these I've looked at over the years? Soil pH is 6.2, phosphorus at 162, off the charts, K of 86. Everything else looks fine. I don't know what your concern is. I do see that you're somewhere down in coastal South Carolina and it's a Bermuda grass lawn. I'm going to give you a real easy program here. The only thing you need to apply is nitrogen.
Yeah. I'd wholeheartedly agree with that. It's about, oh, yes. What, probably, 3 pounds on there? Probably. The year? Mm-hmm. Good?
Yeah.
3 pounds.
It's got a long growing season. You can probably do four.
Okay. All right.
Maybe. It depends on if he wants to harvest hay or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. And then the other thing I would do to optimize that nitrogen is 6.2 is a little bit on the low side regarding pH. I noticed that. You know, to me, that's a little bit low. I mean, that's just a little bit under where I normally like to see Bermuda, pH-wise.
That's where I like it.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? I am a big fan. I feel this is how mentally ill I am, that if I'm at a 6.5 or above on pH, like, I get anxiety. But if I'm...
Funny, Matt.
5.5 to 6.5, it's like, all right, I'm good. Something about the Southeast.
I actually get anxiety when I am under 6.5. Likewise, I also get anxiety when I'm over 7.
Yep.
And that's just because of decades of observation of how grass behaves and responds to nutrients at those various pH levels. You know, this is
one of the most... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ray. Two things. Dylan Miller said, what about Rightline Etho 4SC can get in New York? It's probably not labeled for turf, if I had to guess. But I don't know. You could check the label. It very well could be. Second, Connecticut Cubanican said, my dad escaped Cuba on a raft made from pallets and car inner tube tires strapped to each corner. He hated communism so much he named me Ulysses. My initials are U.S. motherfucking A. If that is not the most badass, the American dream story, then, and if you don't want to, you can get the fuck off my channel right now, because that is 100% badass. And I am so proud that you're fucking here and that your dad has the biggest fucking balls. And if we all had balls that size, the world would be a better fucking place for it. That's great. I absolutely love the shit out of that. Sorry, Ray. Okay. Kind of got off on one there.
Never came.
No, it's all right. Because
wipe off my keyboard.
As I said, that whole pH thing, I think a lot of people don't take it as seriously as they ought to. That's my impression of it. They don't appreciate how important it actually is. I mean, they appreciate it, especially when they finally get it to where it's supposed to be, and they wonder, this is what I've been missing all these years, because now my freaking grass grows.
I tell you, I do want to have, I talked to Dr. Ben Worley at Texas A&M the other day, and doesn't know for sure, but one of the things that he said to me that was pretty interesting regarding, centipede being an acidic loving grass was, theoretical. I don't know if he has data to back this up, but one of the things he said was, they have very, very high turf quality centipede on high pH soil. However, they are irrigating it with water that is relatively high in sodium carbonate, and the high pH is coming from sodium carbonate rather than calcium carbonate. And he thinks that is the differentiating factor of why the centipede is tolerant at a high pH, because of the tolerance to sodium carbonate and intolerance to calcium, which I thought was interesting. And again, I don't think he was talking about that from, he has just a sheer amount of data, but it was something they're trying to theoretically figure out why it's happening, because the turf quality on those particular zones with higher sodium levels are performing at pHs that should not be performing well. So I don't know. It's just one thing I wanted to know. I'd like to have him on to talk about that.
No, I have a theory on that, Matt, because I've literally seen that here in Hawaii too.
Mm-hmm.
And that is centipede growing at sea level, but here are the stipulations or caveats. No phosphorus, number one. And number two, not a lot of calcium. And number three, you need to maintain adequate levels of sulfur and micronutrients, because I've grown centipede on higher pH soils than where the centipede should be. And I'm okay to do that as long as nobody starts fertilizing it with, say, 131 or 122. And that's, as far as centipede goes, actually centipede does fine as people don't fertilize it much at all.
That's the other thing. Speaking of, Dr. Shaddix was talking about this the other day. Go check him out. Turf Epistemology was talking about the difference between 2 and 4 pounds of nitrogen on centipede grass. And not only were rates of recovery higher at 2 pounds, the recovery actually slowed in excess of 2 pounds of nitrogen per year. And if I heard correctly, there was not much discernible difference between 1 pound and 2 pounds. But when you exceeded 2 pounds, that's when you saw a negative impact. So everyone go over to Turf Epistemology and check out Dr. Shaddix as he goes over there and gracefully shares everything he has to share with us so we can all take it in. Fun fact, I said I would leave this industry if there was ever a day that went past that I didn't learn something new. And the great thing about having him on air now is that it consolidates a place for me to go learn something new every day. Dave Clausen sent in a soil test. We will take a look at this here. There are two things that stand out to me in this. Is number one, I'm not going to look at anything on the right. I promise you, nothing on the right is significant, and we'll just leave it all out. Number two would be that potassium number is starting to encroach into low levels. I know that MLSN states, 37 parts per million of K?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think some of the work that Dr. Michael Woods did with potassium showed that deficiency symptoms in rare, albeit rare, instances begin to show at around 50 parts per million. I will say this is just a personal thing because, again, everyone who manages turf has their own nuances, right? It's just, it's reality. We're all weird in our own way. We have our own things. One of my things is that if I'm dipping that low in potassium, then normally I'm applying it regardless. It's just because I'm a little bit crazy. That's all. The other thing too, is that the sulfur, if I recall correctly, we are actually below MLSN on sulfur there, which, those are the two things that I would be looking at if it were me.
You know, Matt, this is, literally, to summarize it and make it simple, this is literally a 111 and AMS lawn, period. Keep it simple. And
it's New York, though. I don't think you can apply phosphorus.
Dave can.
Dave can do actually, anything.
Dave really can.
The reason why I say 111 and AMS is because You see right here this 11 parts per million of sulfur? That is very borderline as far as turf performance. And this would be a case of you apply your nitrogen as AMS, you are going to see a different color response.
Yep.
You're going to see a different color response because of the soluble and available sulfur. Other option, if you're on a truly low nitrogen program, is apply the sulfur as an application of elemental sulfur instead. If you're on
train. You could do. I'm sure you can find a blend out there of AMS and sulfate of potash. I believe those exist, and that'd be a nice little 1-2 combo there. That'll give you a pretty significant spike in sulfur as well too. What's the ratio of pounds of AMS to parts per million of? I don't know. We'll get there.
I know it's 24% sulfur. AMS is 24.
It's effectively 1-to-1, just for the sake of math.
Well, yeah, one, Dave, one
there is
one,
no reason you should throw down gypsum. No reason. Don't do that.
Don't do gypsum because, you know, your calcium is already up there. Your calcium's already up there. And so this is going to speak to how, you know, gypsum is really, to me, Matt and Ryan, to me, it's a unicorn product that has a fit only under very specific circumstances. And the two circumstances that I can think of where it would be a good fit would be, one, somebody has low sulfur, two, somebody has low calcium, and then the third condition that I would add to it is they want to correct those things without making their pH move in either direction. That would be the only time I could see a use for gypsum.
Yard Hard said, over under, how many Kentucky bluegrass lawns get smoked with Velocity this spring?
Yes.
Very few. Very few. And I'll tell you why very few. Because dealer price on Velocity is such that you're going to go into your dealer, ask for it, and they're going to look at you and ask you, are you sure you want to buy this? Because when Velocity was Velocity SG, I remember it being a monumentally expensive product. It was not cheap. So I don't imagine anybody really smoking any lawns because they're going to get, you know, look at it and say, is that all I get? And this is all I have to apply? Oh, no, thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're going to have some people that push the envelope.
Are crazy. Yeah.
Let's see here. We have, we've got some pictures from Dylan Miller here. Look at this.
Oh, yeah. Dylan asked me, you know, he's doing some side work here and wanting to know if one were to get in here and price this from a professional standpoint, you know, what are some considerations? What are some of the numbers around this? And I've got, if you'll bear with me here for a second, I've got the total square footage. I want to say it's about 4,200 square feet or so, but this is a backyard in Georgia. And, you know, just trying to figure out, help him think about pricing. So why don't we start with the considerations here first? What should we be mindful of as we're estimating this particular property?
The length of time to cut all that in.
Yeah, there's a lot of cuts out there. That perimeter, so Dylan, the perimeter, right? All the beds, a lot of trimming. What a waste.
Yeah, that's a highly detailed sod work. And, you know, funny you should mention this because Dylan asked me about this exact job over the weekend. And I told him what I would price this job at. And at first he asked me, are you sure? That seems like a lot. And it's more than, you know, going price. And I said, well, this is an example of a job that was previously done by chucking a truck and it failed. And your alternative is to let Chuck in a truck do it again so that it can fail again in a couple of years. Because
one of the
what's involved in this job, actually, Matt, is removal of existing material.
Yep.
Introducing a sand cap and then sodding over that sand cap.
The dump fee. About the weight of that on the dump fee. That's going to be a fairly expensive dump cost.
Fees.
All that there.
One of the things that I used to do is just kind of a rough calculation, and this is not how I price things, but it would a lot of times when if I did a project and then I was pricing it out on the when I'm priced out a project, and then I would look at it after the fact. If I am somewhere within the wheelhouse in excess of 3 times the cost of sod, that seemed to be fairly certain where I came in. So I think on this project, his sod cost was like $3,600. And, you know, when I took a look at it, kind of my first glance, I was thinking like $12,000 to do it. And I was like, 3,600 times three is fairly close to $12,000. Then I feel comfortable with that price of $12,000. Right. I didn't take the time to do pen to paper and source everything and dispose everything. But as kind of a general rule of thumb, I would co-sign my bullshit at, by a simple calculation like that.
Matt, I probably, just to be safe, and I told him, because I saw the amount of detail that needed to be dealt with, I told Dylan, I would not touch this for no less than $15,000.
Yep.
Because of the amount of detail and time, and God knows what you're going to run into when you start digging this up. I mean, I told him no less than $15,000, and I told him, in Hawaii, a saw job like that is automatically $50,000.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
No, because of all the bullshit that people run into, and you can get it done for less than that, but you see, you can do that, but then you haven't saved anything, because then that's the one that needs the bulldozer in a year or two, and you got to do it over again, and this time you do it right, so that it doesn't die. So pay me now or pay me later.
Yep. Let's see. The next one here, we have Brent, who said, who would be a better law detective, Sherlock Holmes, Batman, or Columbo? That's a good question.
Oh, man. I think Sherlock Holmes is the most science-based.
I honestly don't know any of them.
Sherlock. Grab some water. I would put it on Sherlock. Yeah.
Most likely.
I'd put it on.
All right. Columbo. I don't know. I could never get into Columbo. All right. Let's see here. Ooh, here's a good one. Brady wants to know, what's the best strategy for cleaning liquid prodiamine out of spray tanks and spray nozzle tips at the end of the day? Anything to add besides using straight water? There are a couple commercially available tank cleaners. I think they all have them now. Harold's has one that I like, but I know that all of them have one now that will get pigments and dyes and everything like that off. We've used that before, Ray, with trying to clean off the pigment that comes in the Xteris, right? Does a pretty good job, but I'm not sure if I can remember the name of said product.
You know, there's very, very few things that I've applied through a sprayer that don't resist 1% KOH. There's very few things that don't dissolve in that, because KOH is probably there and it's inexpensive. The other option that I've used too is good old sodium hydroxide. You know, KOH or sodium hydroxide are almost interchangeable. Difference is, is that, you know, the KOH, if you dilute it enough, you can spray that out onto turf grass, and because it's potassium, it will not damage or ruin the soil. Whereas sodium hydroxide, because of the sodium content, that's not good on soil.
Real quick. Yeah, we're gonna hop on the phone for just a hot second here.
Yeah.
Just a hot second. I think I jumped to it a little too quick. real quick, why? Never mind.
Lawn Care Help Desk. This is Lushy. How can I help you?
Hi, Lushy.
Matthew, how are you?
I'm good. What's up, how Ray? Are you, sir?
Hey.
They and everyone out in Magic YouTube land, I really want to thank you all. That
it's our pleasure. You know we love the holy fuck out of you, right? I hope you know that.
No, I do. I appreciate it. It really means a lot.
Well,
I just wanted to take a quick minute and really thank everyone for taking a moment out of their day and reaching out. I really do appreciate it.
It's the absolute least we could do. Again, I don't think there's anyone who's even involved in this on the fringes that doesn't know who you are. And I don't, if anyone ever told me that they don't like that Lushy guy, choke them out. Then I'd probably urinate on them after they were unconscious.
Kicked your ass.
Yeah, and feel real good about it. I'm not gonna lie. I'd call you after the fact, Lushy, and be like, dude, I choked a guy out for you today. We'd air high five over it. But seriously, again, you mean the world to us, and I cannot fathom, what you and your family have to go through. Not at all, and I'm not gonna pretend like I do. But I just know that we are all thinking of y'all intimately, and. Again, you're one of the best, Lushy. 100% one of the best, and I know that's because you probably had a great old man.
No, I appreciate that. I do, and I don't want to take up too much time. I want to let you guys get back to it. I just wanted to reach out to everyone and thank you for that and the kind words. I've gotten calls and text messages on the side as well, and I've really appreciated it from everyone.
You hear that, everyone? Y'all are a little bit nicer than we all give you credit for. We're assholes. We're not scumbags after all.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Lushy is nice and exemplified, okay? Lushy is super nice. I mean, he's... Lushy's great. I mean, after all, I still don't forget the little escapade of 2021. I mean, hey,
creeping Ray around.
Yeah.
Hey, where there's a will, there's a way, and that's the way he was taught, and that's the way I was taught.
Exactly, because you see, Shane and Robert to the rescue. I mean, if you know, you know.
All right, guys, I'm gonna jump off. I really, again, once again, I really want to thank everyone that took a moment to, send a video in, and definitely made me laugh. There was some good ones, and I actually can't wait to hear the closer.
Yeah,
at the end of the show.
There's a couple.
Don't forget,
we've got a couple bonus. Got a couple bonus now.
All right,
it's
boys.
Refrigerator.
I'm gonna let you get back at it. I really appreciate it. Everyone,
we love you, Lush.
All right,
love you.
All right, I'll be watching.
All right. Dave Hensel said, "What is the best? What is the best plan of attack for controlling crepe myrtle bark scale? In a imidacloprid drench is the easiest thing to do. We actually talked about that last week, but just as a refresher, one of the things that you can do is pull back the mulch, creates like a little funnel of sorts, you know, an outward mound. There's lots of videos on YouTube. And mix it your dilution rate, and then drench right there along the base of the crepe myrtle. Ray suggested that you could drill and fill. I see a child's hand on Dimash's shoulder. I know what that's like. That was cute.
Saying goodnight because it's bedtime. And
I saw a little baby hand come up out of nowhere. It was adorable.
I saw the daughter. And so, really, Matt, you kind of got it, because what I would do for a crepe myrtle tree that had bark scale is I would drill holes down through the mulch in the soil all around that crepe myrtle tree, mix up the prescribed dosage of imidacloprid and some water, pour that dosage down those holes, and then cover those holes back up with soil and mulch. Nobody will know I was there except for the scales. Nobody will know.
Jay Farm said, what is the ratio of pounds of AMS to parts per million? There's a little bit of math here. So the ratio of sulfate to sulfur, which is what you have to do first, is you are going to multiply your pounds of SO4 by 0.33. Okay, so multiply it by 0.33, right? And that will give you your pounds of actual sulfur. And then you take your rate that you applied per acre, and then you have to convert that to parts per million. So you would divide it by 2. So, wait, did I say that right? Yeah. You would divide it by 2, and that would give you your parts per million. So, another way that you can do is you can do, like, if you used ammonium sulfate, you can just multiply ammonium sulfate, your rate that you apply, times 0.2427, right? And then convert your pounds that you applied. So if you applied 1 pound per 1,000 square feet of ammonium sulfate, you would multiply that times 0.2427. And then that would, that would be, we'll say whatever that comes out. So 40 pounds per acre times, 0.25. So now you're at 10 pounds, right? Now you divide it by 2, that would be 5 parts per million of sulfate. 5 parts per million of sulfur that you increased on your soil test, theoretically. But you also have to account for what other nitrogen you applied, right? So if you also applied urea or something else, then you might be pulling from that number. But if you applied just ammonium sulfate all season, then you accounted for it. That's your rate. Let's see. Dan the Lawn Man said, what is the right way to spread urea pounds per and the analysis of N, spreading versus spraying, uptake time of both? So really, okay, your rate of urea is totally just going to be up to you, right? The easiest thing to think of is that it's 46% N, right? So for every 1 pound you apply, you're applying every 1 pound per 1,000, you're applying 0.46 pounds of N. It's an easy way to do it. Where it gets difficult when you're spreading urea is, if you have to have a pretty small prill size, or have to have an application that warrants up to a pound of N, right? Because, say, based on the prill size you have to spread it 2 pounds per 1,000. And I'd say that's difficult if you have a standard size prill. If you've got grains grade, then it's no problem. You can do it all day long, right? But if you have a standard prill, probably 2 pounds per 1,000 is about as low as you can go. So that would be 4.6 times 2, that'd be 0.92 pounds of N that you're applying, right? So the flexibility with spraying, it allows you to dilute that, right? So you dilute 1 pound in 1 gallon, and 1 gallon covers 1,000 square feet. So effectively, over across that 1,000 square feet, you're applying 0.46 pounds, right? So that would be just under a half pound of N. And or if you want to apply a quarter pound of in, then dissolve a half pound in 1 gallon of water. And then that 1 gallon of water covers 1,000 square feet. That would give you effectively 0.23 pounds of in. So it'd be easier to run reduced rates of in as a liquid when you're using urea because the concentration of in is so high. In terms of spreading, uptake, time of both, are you really going to see that much of a difference between the two? It depends on when you get water on it, right? Technically, are you going to get a little bit faster response out of foliar applied urea? Yeah. Is it going to be enough that you're like, holy shit, I am so glad I did that? Probably not. It's probably not going to have that much of an impact on you. Getting nitrogen into the plant is the easiest nutrient to get into the plant. I want to make that absolutely clear. If you're struggling to get nitrogen into a plant, you've got a way bigger issue on your hands. Something catastrophic is foobarred.
Something horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the county pay you to take your grass out. Get paid at least.
But anyway, so, you know, you can kind of pick your poison there. It's just easier to run reduced rates if you're dissolving and spraying urea. Matt Adulting. I love this name so much. I need to do more adulting. He said, I have a cheaper option than Velocity with the PGR I got, and it took care of the POA on my tall fescue. The recommended rate for fescue is like 4 times too strong for POA. Just like Momentum 4-Score isn't listed to control or suppress Bermuda, but it is listed as dangerous to use on Bermuda. I use that to treat my tall fescue for everything, and it smokes Bermuda out. I see what you're saying there. So you're using a PGR to suppress POA to the point that it gives you the appearance that it's taken out. I'll tell you that
it's not,
but it is suppressing it to a point that you no longer see it and you feel good about it. And that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. It 100%, again, a lot of our management strategies are finding our own tolerance points, right? And if you found a point that you can tolerate, you won. You 100% won. Now, please understand that Ryan, Ray, or myself may look at it, and the first thing we're going to be is like, man, when are you going to do something about that POA? And you may not even notice it. Or, and vice versa, we may pull up on a lawn, and we may be like, man, this is clean as shit. And you're like, no, do you see the POA over by the air conditioner in that one spot in the back corner? You don't see it? So, again, you know, aesthetics are you know, highly individualized. And so just, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. But I just wanted to say that to say is that if you feel good with the results that you're getting on your POA with your PGR applications, then yes, you are winning, my friend, 100%. Also, Connecticut Cubanican, thank you for submitting that. That is so badass. By the way,
it's amazing.
I'm actually going to send that to myself. And when I am down in the dumps for whatever bullshit reason in my head, I'm going to look at that and be like, well, I'm a pussy today and I need to grow the fuck up. And that's just the way it is. J-Pink is sick as shit. And so we're going to, like bad sick. So we're going to have to dip out of here. But before we do, I think we've got a couple of things to close out with. I'm going to shoot it to you.
All right. Oh wait, let's back. Start it over again. Pause. And this is these were the ones that couldn't make the cut for the regular video because they were too risky. We had when you have to draw the line, when the censors say you have to draw your line with Telly's butthole joke, there's just some that aren't gonna make, you know, the final edit. I'm sorry. But we did not want to blue ball or deny anyone any pleasure. So with that, we will close the show in a NC-17 format. J-Pink, take it away with these last 3 minutes.
What's the difference between a priest and Woody from Toy Story? Woody goes limp when a child walks into the room.
I'm grabbing my rosary and clutching it like pearls right now.
Just wait. Just give it a second.
Two priests are driving down the road and get pulled over by a police officer.
The police officer comes out of the car, approaches the priest, and says, "We're looking for two child molesters." The priests look at each other and says, "We'll do it."
Yikes!
I thought that was a yard prize.
We need to clip Dan's face. We need to clip that face from Dan right there, and that sticker needs to be called Father Dan. Please, can we make that Father Dan sticker? Whenever you say something that you really know you shouldn't God, say, but you say it anyway, right there. Father Dan sticker is now what that means. All right, let's watch this last one here. Take us out. Timothy Bluegrass. Oh, we got to get body. Wait, back it up. We'll give him a restart.
Okay,
he's
what
sick.
Did the science lawn dad say to the Home Depot lawn dad who was on the Milorganite train? Hey, why don't you save some foss for the rest of us? Get it? Phosphorus? Foss for the rest of us? It's a funny fucking joke. There's too much foss in here. What's your problem?
Lushy, we love you. Timmy, we love you. We love all of you. Thank you for being such a great group that cares about each other. This isn't Lawn Care Nut. This isn't Ron Henry. This isn't anything else, any commercialized bullshit. It's a group of people, like-minded people that want to grow great turf. They want to do a lot of other things together, and they try to take the best care that they can of each other. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Leshy, take care of yourself, take care of your family, and everybody else, keep going, because next time we meet, boys and girls, it's going to be April, and shit's about to hit the fan. So we love you all. Have a good night. JPEG, don't die. Don't die. We need you. And Matt, it's a vibe.
Love y'all. Bye!